other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Dick Medicine. It's medicine for your dick. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Brick.
Hi. You throw me for a loop. You're fucking it up.
Hi. Hot seat.
Keeping everyone on their toes.
Welcome to my world.
Dave is here as well.
Hi.
Nico is also here.
Hi.
In his old Irish incarnation. Today's topic is a topic that's familiar to all the Yak Babies. We talk about it pretty often in various contexts and forms. We're talking about shame. In this case, we're talking about books that we're ashamed to have not read. So we've all got our blind spots, holes in our reading lists and so on. Some of them don't seem to matter, right? It's just like you'd like to get around to it, but if you don't, that's no problem. What are the books that you're ashamed to have not read? What are the ones that sort of nag at you or give you some trouble with that? I've got one for sure. And it's not just one book, it's entire bibliography. I've not read anything by Toni Morrison.
Oh,
pretty shameful.
He's still mine.
we can bond in our shitty reading habits. I own Jazz.
Dave? That's the one. There are arguably, I guess, better books, but fuck, I love that book. And there's a lot to talk about, like what she does with structure and point of view. It's just kind of crazy. I think we could have a good episode about that.
I will pull that out. I think it's back in Texas, but I'll get my parents to ship it to me or something like that. Because, yeah, I've always wanted to read it, but somehow it's just like one of the ones that sits in the bookshelf and never got pulled down. But yeah, I feel that's a very shameful omission, and one that I need to correct and want to correct for sure. Brick, you feel similarly about Toni Morrison?
Yeah, I remember reading Home, but I don't remember reading Home, so I don't think that counts. Mm. But I have not read Jazz or Beloved, which are both books that I really should have read.
Yeah. Go, what about you?
I can't really, I haven't read much Toni Morrison either, but I don't want to just glom onto that. I don't know. There's a lot of books I definitely haven't read, but I don't really think about any of them, I guess.
We could provide you with some shame. So you tell us what they are and we will shame you and make you feel shamed.
Well, I haven't read many literary books in a hot minute. So there's that.
You disgusting pervert. Dave?
You know, I think we've talked a lot about how my public school education really sucked, particularly with literature. So there are so many books like Lord of the Flies that I wasn't exposed to at that age that everyone else was. Mm. So if you want to, maybe a good way to hear about mine would be to listen to the Modern Library discussion that we had, where we went down the top 100 books and talked about whether we've read them or not, and I had read so few of them.
Right,
that's mine. I can't think of a specific example offhand, but I'm
but what's
pretty
funny
much
about that, Dave, is that you
pretty much filled with shame about all of it.
But you had a lot of the not obvious ones,
like the top of the list. You were taking them off pretty.
I know, yeah.
Rick and I had not even heard of these books.
That was totally random.
Yeah. So you're like a hipster reader. You have like the, kind of the obvious shit. So Toni Morrison is my big one. I also have some shame around big things like Ulysses and Infinite Jest, where I feel like I should tackle them and should get through this large. War and Peace is another one that I own, but haven't gotten around to reading yet.
Why Infinite Jest specifically? I mean, there are a lot of huge books.
I guess it seems like one of those ones that looms large and 21st century creative imagination. I remember Eric read it on talked about it on the podcast, and he described it in ways that really made me want to read it more. But I own it. Length, difficulty too. It seems like it's a hard book maybe to follow through on. It has that, the physical copy that I have, the pages have that thin tissue paper quality that like Norton anthologies have, like a reader for high school literature, where you're like, this is just like feels flimsy because there's so much in there. And it just seems like a daunting task. But I don't have the same shame about that that I have about Toni Morrison, for instance. I don't feel like those feel more like things I'm supposed to have done, whereas Toni Morrison feels like something I need to have done. Is that sort of difference makes sense? And I still want to.
Yes. I feel the same way.
The Ulysses at this point feels more like would be cool if I could tackle that. But if I don't ever before I die on the toilet, then it'll be probably okay.
It's so good, though.
As I'm sure War and Peace is, and I want to talk about that someday, too.
War and Peace is a lot easier to read in pieces.
Oh, shit. War and Peace is.
Yeah. It's not hard to step away from that, because I've read this book over like a period of like 3 years. It's not that hard to step away from it and then come back like weeks later and catch the plot real. It's almost like a soap right. opera, as opposed to like Ulysses. If you take 3 days off, you're done.
Right.
If you're actually interested in reading War and Peace, it might just be pick it up. And the chapters are also really short. It's one of those books that has like 5,000 six-page chapters, right. so it's easy to kind of nibble at. And it's a good book. It's not the best book right. ever. It's just it's entertaining. It feels like, you know, the 18th century equivalent of Stephen King, or 19th century right. whenever it was written.
I suppose I could add Tolstoy to that list, because I've not read any Tolstoy either. So that could be one, because I haven't read Anna Karenina, which I think is maybe more commonly read than War and Peace is, at least in terms of like a reading list, that kind of thing.
Dostoevsky.
Did read Crime and Punishment and liked it quite a bit. Is there an inverse here? Books that you are ashamed to have read?
Well, I still have a couple answers to your first question before I confess my sins on the second one. I'm kind of embarrassed about how much of the books, and I feel fairly well read, how much of my books are white man books. Like 90%, 95%, and how little, like, both I've read, but also I'm just even aware of books from other cultures or diasporas. You know, you get like the token book from each kind of part of the world, and that's the one reading. And I've never really gone much beyond that, with a few exceptions maybe, but not to the point that I would like to.
No, I totally agree. And I think there's something to the Western literary canon being sort of impressed on you in your developmental years. And if you're a curious reader, or if you want to be a curious reader, like I think we are or were, then it becomes this quest, right? Well, I got to read Vonnegut, I got to read Joyce, I got to read Fitzgerald and Hemingway and so on, and Roth and Updike. And as it expands, but as you add more layers onto that, you're still in that one form of reading, right? You're still looking at like text written by white men largely, which is really a bummer, because there's plenty of stuff out there that gets ignored and isn't sort of given to you in the same way that you're given Hemingway, for instance.
Another one, kind of speaking of Hemingway, I guess, that's on my list is, I don't know if shame's the right word, but it's a book I'm pretty sure I would like and I've always wanted to read, but I've never gotten around to, and that's Look Homeward, Angel, by Thomas Wolfe.
My pick for the tallest author.
Yep.
Why do you want to read it? What compels you to that book?
I generally like most of his peers, and it's a book I've always been told is, you know, one of the greats. The story around it's sort of... I read when Dave was talking about the... What was the guy you were talking about? Malcolm Cowley? Was that his name? I read a book about... God, I don't even remember. The author's name was A. Scott Berg, and it was about the editor of a lot of the Lost Generation writers, and it was a very good book, and that kind of sold me on...
Oh, Perkins? Maxwell Perkins.
Yeah, Maxwell Perkins, Editor of Genius. That was the name of the book by A. Scott Berg. It was a very good book. It was a biography of him. Wolf.
I think somebody read that for Chamber 4 back in the day.
That was one. I think that was maybe the first book I reviewed for C4. Yeah. It was near the beginning. It was right near the start. It's a good book. I'm not huge into biographies.
Nico, you mentioned when I said other books you feel ashamed to have read, you lit up. Do you want to give us any number of those titles?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of kind of pop culture books like that. If you just read them because they're a bestseller, you know, then you're like, ugh, you know, at the end, it's like, I don't understand. And then it kind of, sometimes it's shameful, like if I know it's going to be bad, like kind of the Hunger Games are like that, you know, or those kind of books where it's like, I know what this is going to be. And it turns out, yep, it is. And it's, or especially like, I think I read one of the Divergent books, which is like a ripoff of the Hunger Games. So it's even one level more. It was like clearly when all those kind of YA books were coming out, that was like, in this society, there are five tribes and these ones are divided by color. Or in this society, it's like they're divided into Divergent. I think it's like by personality type or some bullshit. And it's like, okay, this is going to be terrible. But it constantly gets these good reviews. And you read it, it's like, yep, it was terrible. God damn it. Like, I don't know what I expected.
Falling for the critical trap, falling for the bestseller trap, sure.
Yeah, or the blurbs in the back of the books. Anytime you're like, yes, the blurbs have sold me, then it's going to be a regret.
Right.
I got, going off of that, I think I got a big shame, which was I read all of the Twilight books. And I did, it's easy in books like that or in like Divergent or Hunger Games is a little different because Hunger Games is maybe a little better.
That's what everybody says, but it's not.
I don't think the first one was. I hated the other Hunger Games.
It's just the same shit over and over.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Harry Potter good, but it's better than a lot of its imitators. But it is easy, because those books are written for 12-year-old girls, for the most part, or 12-year-old boys. But they play onto those things that are, like, not quite primal, but buried in us all deeply with, like, belonging and friendship and like, all those things. So it's easy, even in a bad one, if you're reading it, to get caught up into those more pathetic in the literal use of the term approaches those books do. And I felt it a little bit in Twilight, and I read them all mostly for curiosity and spite, but there was part of me that liked them. But then, like, you get done with them and you think about them a little more and you're like, oh, that's awful. That was a really, really bad book. This is a book. It's like, you know, yeah, it's exciting. The plot beats are right. They're written very specifically to manipulate teenagers into getting excited and wanting to follow along. But then when you think about it a little more, you're like, that's a book about a 700-year-old man really, really going after a 16-year-old. And then you don't, you're like, that's gross. And then the last one was real fucked up. Cause like the whole thing is like abstinence, abstinence, abstinence. Yeah. And then baby eats its way out of the vagina.
Yeah,
it did. It clawed. Jesus. It clawed and chewed its way out.
Do you?
Sure.
So yeah, I'm really. I take that time back and read something else.
Do you guys think that if Twilight was written by a man, it would have been completely rejected by society? Because that seems like it would, instead of it being like a fan, like when it's a man's fantasy instead of a woman's fantasy, that whole setup gets like way grosser.
It's still gross. But I think it still would have been liked if it was what it was. I don't
like it would seem more like someone trying to smuggle a weird pedophilia text in the form of like contemporary literature.
Someone trying to perv it out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't have a lot of.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't have too many of those like shame reads, but I do have sometimes sort of like I was obsessed with it when I was younger. And now I look back and think of like, well, why was I so obsessed with that? Which was I used to really love Dennis Miller. Like my favorite comedian for a long time was Dennis Miller, and I read all those Rants books and fucking loved them. Had all of them, read them over and over again, like you know, cover to cover several times each. I thought they were the funniest shit ever, and also like the smartest shit ever. And I was like, this is like real comedy because it's smart. And now I look back and I'm like, it's so transparent,
right?
And not just because Dennis Miller has transitioned into a right wing freak, the approach just seems a lot more shoddy than when I was 17. I thought this was like earth shattering shit. I still remember watching his first special after 9/11, and it was like super right wingy, and there was a bunch of stuff about like how like we should just like start drilling for oil in the Alaskan Preserve because we need cars more than we need like wildebeest or like reindeer or some shit like that. And I was like, I was like I was trying really hard to laugh, be like, oh, Dennis Miller still got it pretty good. But I was like, even though I was like, this is weird. At the end he rides out on like a fake deer or something like that. I don't know, it was fucking weird. And that was when I was like, maybe I'm done with Dennis Miller. And then he got a show on Fox News. I was like, oh, I'm definitely not with Dennis Miller. This is horrible.
Yeah.
Opie and Anthony.
I always at least liked I did the same thing like when I was a teenager. Cause I think that's like he's like a teenage kind of comedian. Like I remember really liking Dennis Leary and really liking Dennis Miller. Never did Opie and Anthony. And I never did Bill Maher. I could never stand Bill Maher, but
I hate that guy.
But Dennis Miller was at least like, he was a pretty good writer, you know, like even if his like points became like weirder and weirder and more like crotchety and right wing, it was like
actual writing. A lot of it is pretty good. Reference based, and if you get the references, you feel flattered as an audience member. You're like, I get that reference. I'm smart,
right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you were like,
yeah,
at that certain age, and you want to feel like you're like a doing something different than your peers are, then you're like, oh yeah, for sure, I'm into Dennis Miller. That's better than being into Seinfeld or whatever. But yeah, man, I read all his books. I guess I also read a lot of David Letterman top 10 list books, which I'm not ashamed of because those are great. But I did read those a lot too, and I had several of them, just books of top 10 lists. I'd read in the toilet. Just consistently. That Dennis Miller rants, Peace Beale Bailey in that rack as well. Bath with the Bathroom book. All my faves.
Huh.
All right, readers, let us know about your shame. This is time to open up. This is therapy. So let us know on Twitter at YakBabies and email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com and tell us about the books that you're ashamed to have not read or never read, or the books you're ashamed to have read in the first place, and let us judge you accordingly. You can also find us on patreon.com/yakbabies and get access to the Patreon feed for $1 a month. Now listen, Patreon's full of really good stuff. Our Patreon specifically. Others are terrible, but ours is good because there's lots of really fun games and stories, and we talk about things that we don't necessarily think you should be hearing on the main feed because they're incriminating or in some ways gross. But for $1, you can have them. So check that out. Go subscribe there. And also tell the world about YakBabies. Tell your friends, tell people who think you would like this podcast about it. Spread the word. We'd love to have even more listeners for our nonsense. Until then, YakBabies, yakking off.
The YakBabies would like to thank all their loyal listeners and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, and William Howard Taft.